Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
Guess what time it is? That's right. It's the Littlest Hobo time again. Woo! No more Degrassi. No more Pee-wee's Christmas special, which was great, by the way. Degrassi, well, but we're going to do the Littlest Hobo today, tonight, Woo! Whenever you're listening to this, and it's going to be fun, fun, fun. So we have some friends, some furry friends, depending on last time they were to the esthetician. But let's see who's out there, who's joining us this evening. Let's throw it all the way over. Let's run all the way through the fields and over the rivers to Saskatchewan. Who could that be over there?
Hey, it's me. It's Arlo coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And perhaps apropos for this particular episode, something happened to my dog this week.
Uh-huh.
We have a local paper called The Prairie Dog, and they have a Best of Regina poll every year. And my dog won Best Pet Dog of Regina in the Best of Regina poll this year.
You want to give a shout out to that dog?
Woohoo! So shout out to my dog Tanuki, the best dog in Regina.
What publication is this?
It's called The Prairie Dog.
Can I find it online?
Yes, you can.
Alan doesn't believe you.
He doesn't believe me.
Ted doesn't believe you either.
Yeah, I'm like, you're fucking lying. There's no way your dog did that.
Not the prairie dog. Nothing. Not the prairie dog.
My question was less.
What was yours, Courtney? Actually, we'll introduce Courtney too. We'll throw it over to Courtney. Courtney, do it. Okay. Who are you and what are you saying?
Yes. Hello. My name's Courtney Kemp. I'm here with a question about best dog of Saskatchewan.
Yep.
Or
go ahead.
Regina.
You're on the air.
Arlo, you mentioned best pet dog. Is there another dog category, like best wild
there's
dog?
There's a category for best shop pet. Because, like, you know, like the dog or the cat that lives in the shop has a lot more, you know, front facing action than like a pet does. So it's not really fair to compare.
Okay,
the two.
Now the shop, is this
any shop?
Like any shop?
Oh, best shop dog.
Yeah.
I mean, this is amazing. I'm on the site. So yeah, best pet dog Tanuki, credited to
Correct.
Drew. Credited to Drew. Woo. So stop taking Drew's credit, Arlo. This is I don't see Arlo Scott anywhere on this page. So
I should say our dog.
But what's even more amazing is listen to this lineup of dogs that Tanuki defeated. Dio, Bullwinkle, Captain Barbosa, Rolo. I'm surprised. Rolo was just a runner-up, not even the top three. Big upset there. Dax the Mastiff.
I know Rolo. Rolo is a big chonky Frenchie.
Yeah, Zena the Dane, Bean, and Eddie Lou. So a bunch of loser dogs that lost to Tanuki.
Losers.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, except for Xena the Dane, because Xena the Dane unfortunately passed away earlier this year. I actually know that dog too, but yeah.
Well, did she get put down because she lost?
Oh my god.
One dog to rule them all. Nice.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's the fine print.
Tanuki got to decide which dog to put down as one of the prizes for winning.
And he put his paw on a picture, and they're like, well, that's it, boys. Take him out back.
This is all the fine print of the prairie dog reads.
You hear a single gunshot. Oh, no. What has this become?
There's a place.
Anyways.
Holy shits. Arlo, so, no anyway, story is safe. I'm sorry.
Fuck all of y'all. My dog is the best dog.
Woo!
He's got no competition left, so.
Did you get a prize? Yeah.
Well, we get, you know, bragging rights, but I think we also get, like, a little certificate that says that he's the best dog.
Oh, yeah, like, when a business wins an award, you know, like, best burger place in Toronto, and they post it up on their wall, you can put that on the front of your house for somebody to steal.
Yeah.
That's good.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good.
Get your doorbell cam ready. So, yeah, that's all of us, I think.
Yeah.
I think everybody's kind of introduced. You probably know who you are, or we are. And if this is your first episode, sorry, I guess. I don't know. You get
or
what
you're
you
welcome,
for, kid.
Whatever. Uh-huh.
You're welcome. Yes, so we're going to review a classic episode of Littlest Hobo this evening. I don't know. What do you think, y'all? Should we just jump in?
Well, every time we do this, I have to ask you, Ted, because it's always you hosting these.
Yeah.
But for any listeners who have skipped hobo episodes in the past or who are new to this podcast and may not know, what the hell is The Littlest Hobo?
So this was a Canadian show. Now, it was a show back in the 60s, but then this is actually a reboot that we're watching. And it was on from, I think, 1979 to the mid to later 80s. And there were six seasons. So it's about a dog that basically goes around and solves people's problems. And then at the end of the show, Courtney cries because the dog just travels to another place and little baby Courtney is sobbing uncontrollably because he comes in. Basically, they come in cold. Here's the dog. He just shows up like there's no backstory or whatever. It's kind of like Quantum Leap in that way, I guess. Like he just shows up and then he solves the people's problem. Then he leaves again.
This has to be the easiest show to write if you're a writer. It's like, okay, what are the parameters? Well, dog's got to show up at the start. Dog's got to leave at the end. Location doesn't matter. Characters don't matter. Dog can do anything. Like every situation that needs to be solved, dog will solve it. And if the dialogue or the plot or anything doesn't make sense, it doesn't matter. So,
yeah. The dog always gets a name. The leading man or woman... Not necessarily. That's not a given.
Yes.
In tonight's episode, the main character, the main man, does not get a name.
Nope.
He's just Guy. So I refer to him throughout the show as our guy or our hero or whatever or hobo man, whatever. Like, even though he was fairly recognizable in the 70s, 80s, and 60s. But I will tell you about that in a bit.
I mean, I hate to tell you this, but he does have a name.
Oh, he does. He has a name, Arlo says.
What's his name?
I mean, I only know this for my IMDb here. So
yes,
his name is Andy.
Oh, that's great. In the show,
Andy McClelland. Yep.
So back in 1979, everybody, if you were not sure what the guy's name was, just head over to the internet and look up IMDb. Yeah. In 1979, and you'll get that information.
Check it out.
Yeah.
It's going to blow your kids' minds.
Sorry to interject. I was just, have we chat GPT'd a hobo episode yet? I don't think so, eh?
Oh, no, we sure haven't, but...
oh, my God.
You've read my mind. Okay. I will keep you posted.
Yes, please.
Woo! Proceed.
So, this guy who plays Andy McClelland, or Guy, as it were, his name's Paul Burke, and I'm not super familiar with him, but he seems like he's pretty prominent into these primetime soap opera situations. He was on Santa Barbara as a recurring character, and also Dynasty. Really? Yeah.
He was only recurring on Santa Barbara? He wasn't even a full time?
Well, I mean, I say recurring in that he was on 21 episodes, and it ran in 1984 only. So I'm assuming that he was some kind of recurring character of some kind. And then Dynasty as well. He was on 23 episodes from 1982 to 1988. So
outside of Arlo's soap opera knowledge, he was best known for his lead roles in two 1960s ABC television series, one, The Naked City, and two, 12 O'Clock High. It's not like a high, it's not a high school, I don't think, which would be pretty great. Like, he goes back to high school, this guy does. He's like, hey, children, what's up? It's like,
hello,
you're an old
fellow
man.
Youths.
He was twice nominated for an Emmy Award for his portrayal of New York Police Department Detective Adam Flint in Naked City.
I can tell by his accent in this particular episode. I see it.
Yes. You see those acting chops.
Well, and he was also in Valley of the Dolls and the original Thomas Crown Affair movies. Yes. So those are pretty famous. Mm.
ChatGPT, I said, are you familiar with the show The Littlest Hobo? Of course. ChatGPT is like, of course I am. I'm ChatGPT. Yeah. I said, what kind of things could that dog do? ChatGPT lists the dog's skills as follows. Problem solving. Communication. While Hobo couldn't speak in the traditional sense, the show suggested that he had a deep understanding of human emotions and could communicate effectively with people. So, there you go.
Wow! Already a better writer.
Yeah. Not wrong.
Assistance. Mediation. Can you imagine? There's like two parties that are fighting. Hobo sits in between them in the table. It's like, one at a time, please. One at a time.
In the boardroom.
Versatility. Then I said, could he do anything else? Oh, sorry, ChatGPT also notes, it's important to note that while the show took creative liberties in portraying the dog's abilities, it was primarily a work of fiction aimed at entertaining audiences. Just so you know, everybody. Not a real dog.
Yeah. Oh,
so
hey,
it's
everybody.
Not a documentary.
It wasn't a hidden
cam show. Like, where, look at this fucking dog. He's like solving a murder mystery. He's amazing. This is directed by one Anthony Paris. Not much of note for the director, but written by Norman Lessing. And he wrote screenplays for TV shows such as Hawaii Five-O, The Fugitive, Lost in Space, Bonanza, Beretta, Dragnet, Eight is Enough, and The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And it aired on November 1st, 1979. You missed it by a year. Previous year would have been a great year. For me and Alan.
I wasn't even born then.
Exactly.
Oh, you baby. That was the planet. Sans Courtney, sans Arlo. Or no, maybe sans Arlo. No, it's a better place. The world's a better place with you. I don't know, whatever. What's that? Put a little love in your heart. I was thinking about that the other day about Scrooged when they just sing Put a Little Love in Your Heart, which is not a Christmas song, but anyways.
After we go through the episode, I will tell you what ChatGPT had to say about this episode. spoiler alert, completely wrong. So we'll talk about it a little bit later.
Fantastic. So listen in to the end of the episode. So we open on Hobo, the puppy dog, walking down on an empty stretch of road with a happy drifter behind him, walking behind this handsome vagrant. He figures he and Sport, so the dog's name for this episode is Sport because he gets a new name every episode, and they should take a rest. So our guy is like sweating like a lot and we see a big banana boat car coming down the road with guy, which the guy tries to flag down, I guess, for a ride. They pull into a locked gate, and a henchman, because you know he's a henchman, you can just see him, like, you know, watch the episode. We'll put it up online. Gets out to use the security phone to get the gate opened. And I know, girl, I know, that's Linda. A lady bursts out of the car yelling for help, and she runs up to the man hobo.
She is running with the intensity of a woman who thinks she can save $2 on cat food.
Run, girl.
I just like how, like, okay, so I'm not a kidnapper. I've never kidnapped anyone.
Okay, good. Thank you for clarifying.
If I did kidnap, if I did kidnap somebody, some things I probably would not do: have them just sitting in the back seat, allow them to exit car, like,
yeah,
particularly around witnesses. That's very, like, she just gets out of the car from her captors. So amazing.
A guy then threatens the drifter man and says, "Stay out of my way," which is a very indistinct, like, if you went to, if you went to acting school, go, I don't know, give me a generic accent, Middle Eastern, maybe Italian. I don't know. Just give me whatever's at the bottom of the can, like, just scrape it out. And this is what these guys speak like.
Oh, my God.
And it's never mentioned, too, what country they're from or what accent it is. They're just bad. They're bad biddies.
I mean, we're assuming that they're Russian, right?
Yes. Well, it was just, I guess, segueing into the Red Scare, like the Ruskies are the bad dudes, which the 80s would proliferate on this. They would just go crazy.
We're basically
well, and I think I think also like the whole idea of like. The sort of glamorization of like dancers defecting.
Yes.
Was kind of hot at this period of time, weirdly. Uh-huh. Like, it was like some of the biggest ballet dancers in the world, like Rudolf Nureyev, defected in like 1976, and I think Baryshnikov defected in like 79 or something like that. Mm. And then, you know, we get into the early 80s, and then I think 1984 or 5 we get the movie White Nights with Mikhail Baryshnikov and all this stuff. So like this was very, it was kind of a hot topic.
The show writers and producers got together and they're like, all right, we've got a memo from CTV with some orders. They're like, we need to have an episode where we include a defection from Eastern European country, preferably a dancer or a performer of some type, because they are, and I quote, so hot right now. So
yeah. Russians are bad, you know, America mm-hmm. is good.
Yep.
Good thing it turned out Russia is super, super good. Yeah.
We're still kind of there, but yeah.
So the guy says, "Stay out of my way," and pops open the biggest, clumsiest switchblade I've ever seen. Like, it's humongous. And you're like, it just takes like a minute to open it. Like, whing. Okay, dude. Not so cool. The hitchhiker man then says, "Better turn her loose or I'll give sport here the command to attack." And the dog is barking his head off.
It's like, I'm going to tell sport here to rip your dick off with his teeth.
Yeah, sick balls.
He sounds like the character Adam Sandler played in Airheads, where he's trying to be Pip? Scary and tough. And
he's like, and then what are you going to do? I'm going to rip your head off with what?
With or no, what?
He's like, he's like, with my dick.
And blood's gonna fly everywhere.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So the dog's name is Sport in this episode, which I fully accepted for the length of the episode until the very end when the woman says something about sport, and because of her accent, and it ends like whatever she's saying ends with an S, like, you know, all we have to think is this sport or whatever. And like it ended up sounding like Bort. And I, like, in my mind, retroactively did everything so that the dog's name is now Bort for this entire
My dog's name is also Bort. So
yeah,
he went best dog, though.
Advantage, Leslie. So there's a brief standoff until the driver gets out and kind of loops around, like, pretty conspicuously, and delivers a sweet judo chop to the back of the drifter and knocks him out cold. This is about at the 3-minute mark, so I watched a ton of these episodes to try to pick one. At this moment, I said, that's the one. Don't need to watch the rest of the episode. This is the one we're reviewing. And I did watch a ton of these from every season. And the judo chop was like, yup, you got it, baby.
Zing. If you grew up watching, like, Canadian, like, whatever you want to call this, sitcoms or shows, like, you would have been so unprepared for an actual violent encounter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You'd be like, what? Oh, yeah. Judo chop didn't fucking kill that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like, there's a part later where the guy punches a guy, and when I was a kid, and knocks him out. And when I was a kid, I really thought when I got into adulthood, when I got a big man body, I'd be able to knock people out, like, pretty easily. Like, just,
oh, yeah.
Like, just knock them out for several minutes.
Like, how you think you can twist someone's neck and kill them?
Yeah, you're like, wow, adulthood's gonna be awesome. So
also like we start with this karate chop. This is a children's show, everybody. Like, this show is meant for children. There is so much violence and violent language in this episode. It's amazing. We'll get to the violent language. I have it in all caps, so just you wait.
So the lady gets shoved back in the car and they drive off. Our guy is lying on the ground and gets rustled back to consciousness by Sport because he's pawing at him. And he says, oh, boy, when he comes back awake, somebody turned out the lights, Sport. Like, instead of, like, waking up and going, what happened? And vomiting, like, profusely because he just got knocked out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he just kind of shakes it off.
If this was today, Hobo would have to do the he'd have to perform the concussion protocol.
That's evaluate right. Carefully. Uh-huh. That's right. Exactly. So while still sitting on the ground, he puts it together that Anna Markowitz or Mazowitz, and I don't know, whatever it is, and that's who that was. And he just so happens to have a newspaper in his bag with a full page ad of that ballet dancer. And our guy confirms with Sport, like, he double checks because you got to check your work, right? And he says, that is the same lady, Anna Marco. So she goes by the stage name, Anna Marco. So, like, it checks out, and the dog's like, I'm surprised the dog didn't, like, he have paws come in, like, that weren't his, on the sides of his eye, like, sides, and rubbed his eyes and went, ruh. So good.
This paper that he just happens to have, this full-page article looks so fucking fake. Like,
oh, my God, what font is that? Is her name in, like, Comic Sans?
Much ink.
It looks like they had a real newspaper and then just took a full-page, like, that's not at all from the paper and just put it beside the real newspaper. And they're like, nope, that's the paper.
Is that lined up for anything?
No.
So much ink.
It's like this one. So a cop car comes down the road and Sport jumps in through the open window of the cop car. This cop starts harassing our guy and asks if he has a problem, which the guy doesn't, but she does. And he opens the newspaper and shows the cop. Cop doesn't believe the story.
He shoves it in front of the dog.
Which I thought was actually pretty funny. Like, there's a shot of the dog and he opens it in front of him. And you're like,
what a weird shot. He just shoves the dog out of the way with it.
I was like, get out of my light, bitch. And I can say bitch because I'm a dog.
Is it just this copy that's on YouTube, or is it just me, or, like, does it feel like this entire episode was like, have you ever heard of a Vaseline lens?
Oh, yes. Yes. Like, I was looking at it the whole time. So explain what a Vaseline lens, because it's all over this episode.
It's a camera trick that they used to use, like, back in the black and white film era or whatnot, when they wanted to, like, usually it was used when they were filming the leading lady because they wanted it to look like there was, like, soft edges. Mm-hmm. So they'd actually put Vaseline around the edges of the lens, so it would give it sort of this, like, this soft ethereal quality. And I feel like this entire episode is filmed that way with Vaseline lens.
They went to Costco. They're like, well, we got this flat of Vaseline. What are we gonna do with it? Well, I'm shooting an episode of Lilla's Hobo. You're like, fucking, you get it, buddy. You winner.
It's just a strange film quality to it. Like, it would be almost like it's being filmed as a dream sequence or something, but it's none of it's a dream sequence.
This show has a lot of that. A lot of that, like, fuzz. I don't know why, but yeah.
Well, and, you know, maybe when you were watching it on television, it wasn't that way, and it's just sort of the way that the recording of it now is working with our current technology. I'm not really sure, but it's odd.
If I treated the TV like, now that I own, the way I treated my TV, my big parents' floor model, which is hit the top of it with your fist to make the picture better, I just knock it off. I knock it off the wall and just break and go, well, need a new TV. Kick the shit out of the thing. So the cop doesn't believe his story. And that this lady was kidnapped, and the car she was in went. But he's like, the car she went in went through the gates. This cop is really bad. Like, he's just not good at his job. First day, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I also like how he kind of mocks the vagrant for, like, oh, and you just happened to be here and see this. Like, mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, you just happened to fucking show up 5 minutes later. Fuck.
You know? Yeah. Oh yeah, he's totally like, he has a hard on for this guy. Like, he's just fuck this guy. So he's like, yeah, how did you know it was Anna Marco? Did she do a quick paradieu for you? And I was like, how does he know that ballet move? Is that it? Like, it was, I had to listen to it a couple of times. I'm like, it wasn't pirouette or something.
It's people would know.
Who knew this phrase? Right now, who knew this phrase? I did not know this phrase.
No. But again,
it's pa is step, de is two. So it's like a step involving two counts or whatever.
Again, probably in 1979, ballet was probably a big thing. So,
yeah,
we didn't have fucking streaming back then. Everybody, you had to go watch ballet for entertainment. We're barely fucking VCRs. What are you gonna do?
That's right. Or like we talked about on Pee Wee's Christmas special, was like when somebody had multiple kids, but they're all triplets. Is like, people are like, whoa, look at that. Let's go look at them. That's amazing.
Yes.
Look, I love this. I love being alive at this time. So our guy says he's telling the truth. And the cop said that St. Christopher, because he sees his medallion on his chest, wouldn't like it if he wasn't. Our guy puts a medal back in his shirt and gets serious with the cop and tells him to do his job and go help that woman, which I'm sure
Saint Christopher
cops love.
Is the patron saint of travelers, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please do always follow the directions of random men walking the streets.
Also, you know, cops love being told how to do their job.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that your job? It's like, you know what? You got a point. Thank you.
Yeah. And I want to thank you for work now.
And like, I have a natural inclination to be not on the cop side in most situations. But in this case, I'm like, all right, you could punch this guy. Like, I'm going to give you a pass. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't tell. We cut to inside this compound, which is beyond the gate. Phone rings inside. And this, like, kind of gaudy, fancy house, quote, I'm actually doing air quotes here, even though there's no video camera. So this cop is calling from a payphone and says over phone that it's the police. He doesn't identify himself. He says it's the police. So it's like his name is the police.
I don't think it's a payphone. I think it's like a high technology at this time, which is a phone at the front gate.
Oh, yes, so it is.
Yeah.
Yes. So he picks up the phone, gate phone, and says, I want to come in and talk for a minute, if I may. Like, he's the most wuss cop of all time. Like, you're a cop, dude. Like, speak with some authority. And usually I'm not like that, but come on, man. You wuss. The henchman gets a nod from the main big bad who's sitting behind a big desk, and they buzz in the cop. And the henchman is sent to fetch a dude named Albright. It's like, go get the Albright. And I can't even do the accent because it was so like, God knows what it was. It was just if it was a chip, it'd be an all dressed. Like, it was like everything.
That's a good
Seems
chip.
Like a bad idea to take some random street vagrant with you on your investigation into a kidnapping, doesn't it?
No, it's great.
It's fine.
Thinking outside the box is what it is.
I mean, keep in mind, like, the man who, again, we didn't know his name until we had to use the internet to look it up. We literally, like, this show starts, we fade in, and Hobo is walking with this man. We don't know anything about him. Nothing.
No.
Including his name. But we're just supposed to assume, well, he hasn't killed the dog, so he must be the hero of this episode.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing. Like, when he's like, I know the truth, and I'm, you know, I'm right about these things, and you as a viewer are supposed to believe him and realize the cop is the one that doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. The only reason that you believe the man is because the dog is like, I believe the man, so...
Well, yeah. we saw it with our own eyes, Alan.
Oh, yes. There
we
is
saw
also
the woman.
That.
One thing that I do appreciate about this episode that I don't think we've seen before is that we don't actually know what history this man has with Bort. Like, they may have been on a bunch of other adventures already together, right? Like, the lights come up and we see the scene of the man and the dog, you know, like, this is the first time where he may have extra knowledge of this dog's capabilities, unlike previous episodes that we've looked at.
Yeah, because in most episodes we would have like the human and then the dog would show up and he'd be like, and the human would be like, you're an interesting fella, I'm going to name you. And then he'd give him a name. But in this in this episode, they're basically in mid-conversation when they start the episode. So they've clearly hung out for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So he already at least knows what this dog is capable of. So when he's saying like, oh, this dog will handle it, I'm like, okay, this time I buy that. I buy that you know that this dog can handle that.
I like the idea that he knows what the dog can do. And of course, we had the scene where he threatened the person's life with the dog, which leads me to believe that previous to this, he had the dog murdering a whole bunch of people at his command.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, presumably this dog's been like paying his rent for months. Like, he's been... Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been in a polycule together. Like, we don't know.
Ooh, yeah. So we got the cop car pulls up to the compound. They let through the gates with the hiker guy and Sport and Bort. So he's Bort from now on. And which is like, I'm sure, protocol, because like, I do that all the time. I just jump in a cop's car and go, hey, me and Linda want to go for a drive and solve some mysteries or some shit. So they're like, yeah, jump in. Doors open. So he identifies the car, the big banana boat car, but the cop keeps busting his balls and tells him to keep his mouth shut, because if he hears one more lie from him, he's taking him down to the station and booking him for vagrancy and public mischief. Like, the guy was in his car already. Like, what is going on? Why? Like, well, stop fighting with him. Like, no. So the cop swerves at him and says, and swerves the audience and says that those thugs are actually undercover cops. Also, just a note, this episode doesn't really come together. Like, you really got to jump at certain conclusions and stuff. But anyways, that don't overly make sense. So he said, oh, they're actually undercover cops, and that big boat of a car is an unmarked police car. So Board is in the back of the car, jumps in, and finds a blue piece of cloth, and he barks for them to come over. It's a scarf, and our guy saw Anna Marco wearing it. But before the cop can react, we have Judo Chopper guy on screen saying, oh, that's my wife's scarf. And he's going to have it monogrammed for her, which, you know, ladies, every lady wants a monogram with your initials on it, you know.
Christmas is Don't coming, you? Everybody. Actually, Christmas just
that's
passed.
That's right. Yeah, so. You get, you know, a T-shirt with your name, with your initials on it. It's like, my initials on it because it's mine. So the cop apologizes to this guy who's the lieutenant, and supposedly, and Bort growls. Cop apologizes to the karate chopping guy and said it was a case of mistaken identity, sir. The lieutenant pats him on the back, on the arm, and says, no harm done. Sport continues to growl, and Charlie the cop, we find his name Charlie, and our guy and Sport get in the car to leave, and the lieutenant drops the scarf, like, kind of uncaringly into the back of the car. So outside the gates, the cop parts ways with our guy and Bort and gives him advice. He says, get going and keep going. And then says, yeah, I do patrols around here, so get gone. Our guy waits for as long as teenagers in movies wait before their parents, like, drive around the corner to throw, like, a kegger at their house. Like, the cop just rounds the corner, and then the guy jumps the fence of the compound.
Immediately, yeah. And
immediately, like, the guy's not even really out of sight. And Bort there finds a tunnel under the fence. So they're back on the inside.
This really, like, is a testament to how far our standards of dress have fallen. You know, like, he, like, this vagrant, this, like, he looks perfectly, he's wearing, like, a nice button-up shirt and some slacks. And, like, the indication that he's, like, a hobo is that he's not wearing a three-piece suit. Like everybody else.
Yeah. Like, I could go to work in that
Yeah, for get real. Home.
Yeah.
Like, he looks fine.
He's outfitted at, like, Mark Zuckerberg house. Like, looking good, buddy. So we're inside, and a henchman is chastising Anna, saying that their government of an unnamed country is very disappointed in her. He says, her behavior has been bad. She says, I dance for my country, but I live for me. You know, like, okay.
Yes.
Cool, I guess. And meanwhile, Bort and the man hobo are traversing rivers and fields. So this is a big compound.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, yeah. Like, it's not just up over the hill. It's like a ways away.
Climbing mountains and fucking going through tunnels. Yeah.
Well, according to IMDb, this episode was filmed entirely in the Rouge Valley on land surrounding and owned by the Metropolitan Toronto Zoo.
Oh, yeah. All right. That makes sense.
There you go. Oh, yeah. It will come to light, too, that they didn't have any money to shoot anywhere else, so they shot the shit out of this area. And they kind of just wrap up certain storylines and just go, well, that happened. Off screen. So back inside, the big bad boss says that over the next few days, Anna can be treated like a prima ballerina she is, or like the spoiled child you seem to have become. A spoiled child that must be that
chastised. Yes. Like, what a fate. I'm going to chastise you.
Don't let me get my finger out and wag it at you.
I was like, okay, did they use the term chastise because they don't want to use fiercer language because it's a children's show? But again, just you wait, everybody. Just you wait.
So outside, Bort and the guy look to find a way into the house. The boss, the big bad, says he wants her to cooperate and then leaves and puts a henchman in charge of her to watch.
First mistake.
Yep.
Never leave a henchman to do big.
Oh, this is like, this episode is classic tropes of paint by numbers. It's fantastic. Like, yeah. So the hobo duo spot a greenhouse. A across the way. Bort jumps in through a window and removes a board blocking the door to let the other guy in. In the house, they skulk about and they go upstairs, and Sport leads him into the room that Anna's in. Bort scratches at the door. The henchman steps out into the hall and just stares down at the dog.
If you were the henchman, would you be like, what is the dog doing here?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've been known to like see strange dogs and stand right over them, look straight down.
I mean, like, I think the only difference if it was one of us is we'd be like, well, hey, fella.
So nice. I'd be on the ground with him.
Yeah.
So our guy then dispatches him, gives him a few chops and whatnot. And he then gets the story from Anna. He goes in Rome. These dudes are spies, and somehow they found out that she was defecting, and they caught her. And they're going to take her to her home, to her country, again, of no origin, location. And she will be in prison for the rest of her life. Uh-huh. Our hero guy then says, they'll have to catch us first. And they really, like, stick on this. They're like, yeah, good line. They go to leave, and the karate man and the big bad boss guy and a henchman are waiting for them with a gun.
Oh boy.
On them. Uh-oh. They absolutely hear cover all the bad guy chatter, because they start saying, we're going to take you on a helicopter ride about 20 miles out to sea at 10,000 feet and to go skydiving without a parachute. Bum, dun, bum, dun, bum. Dun.
Yeah, so like instead of just killing them right there, because they've got the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, their plan is, well, we'll fly you out over the ocean and then we'll drop you to your death. So yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah. It's quite elaborate. Instead of going, bang, take that fucker. You know? So Bort runs off from the room. He escapes. And the boss then gets disproportionately angry and screams, catch that dog and kill it.
Like, fucking die.
Have you not seen the show?
The dog's the one.
Dog will foil me.
I fucking loved it. He's like, I wrote it in all caps, get that dog and kill him.
Which is so much more practical than what they're planning, how they're planning to kill the humans.
Like, this is a children's show.
They should have been like, catch that dog and shoot it with the bullet that won't quite kill it, so we can wrap it up and helicopter it to the ocean and dump it.
He's like, oh, my plan is all fucked up now.
Wait. TLDR.
No. The man, the random man gets the fly over the ocean treatment. The dog, it's just shoot him. Fucking kill the dog.
Yeah. Like, the dog's... So somehow he knows the dog is going to do something. Like, that's... It's yes. More important than the woman. Like, what's going on here? So, out on the grounds, the lieutenant and the henchman are searching for the flea bag. So they're looking for the dog. The henchman asks a very reasonable question and asks, why are we chasing after this dog? And I was like, and I'm sitting there watching and go, exactly, henchman. Like, yeah, this makes no sense. It's a dog. And then the lieutenant says, it's not just any ordinary dog. And then the camera locks in on this random NPC henchman, and he goes, ordinary dog, eh? And he seems to understand what I am not. Like, so I'm watching going, I feel like going, henchman, what do you understand here? Like, it's just a dog. It's still just a dog.
No, because they all realize now. They're like, this dog has superpowers. Like, it's not an ordinary dog.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
What kind of henchman was it, Teddy?
Like a non-playable character henchman. Like, it doesn't matter who he is. Like, he doesn't... Of course, I was going to say he doesn't get a name, but our main guy doesn't get a name either. Well, he's got a name if you're watching the show in 1979, if you're listening through a time machine or something, wait, I don't know, 25 years, 20 years, let's say, just to be safe, to find the internet. Okay, so he has a name, but not now, he doesn't.
the henchmen also have names technically.
Yeah.
Meat and whatever, Dwayne.
Stew and meat.
Stewies.
Okay, so one of the I'm assuming any of them that have lines. There's Kulak and Partos.
Yes.
Fantastic. Uh-huh.
So again,
there's another that is not named specifically.
Let's give them names that are distinctly not Canadian or American, but you still can't identify exactly where they're from.
Yes. Kulak and Partos.
Oh. Fantastic. Wait, are they Greek? That's great.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what's going on there? So we hear in the living room that the boss and the lieutenant are talking, and they have some type of paid agreement. Lieutenant takes some wants his money, and Bort. But then cut away, and Bort goes into the basement where our guy is tied up. And in this house, I've realized no one actually closes doors. They slightly ajar the doors. So for whatever reason, so Bort just like pushes the door, any door, and just opens. Sport undoes one loose knot that's tying the guy's hands behind his back. I go, this guy's like not good at stuff. This dog is really good. It's like, why couldn't you wrestle out of that? The Boston lieutenant continue to argue, and latter saying that he did his part and he doesn't know why he's still hanging around. The boss calls him impatient and tells him to wait. There's a bunch of cut back and forth there. And Bort and the guy escape the house, but he can't leave her. So he tells Bort that there's got to be some way for Bort to alert the cop. And Bort taps his St. Christopher medal, and the guy thinks that's a great idea. Like, the dog is coming up with all the ideas. Like,
you did it, Bort. You solved this one.
But I don't, like, he's going to, the plan is this medal. So this little medal becomes the centerpiece of this, that ties the whole episode together. But when the dog, let's say the dog brings the medal to the cop, I don't know if he does. Mm-hmm. Don't want to spoil it. Yeah. Wouldn't the cop be like, that motherfucker, I told him to leave, or I was going to put him in jail. Like, why would the medal have any profound impact on the cop about solving the crime? Right?
There's a bunch of stretches in this episode that make, like, there will be more as well. Like, put that on the pile of, like, assumptions people make correctly somehow that make no sense.
And then the dog takes off with the medal, and we hear men saying they see the dog, and then you just hear gunshots. They're trying to, again, this children's episode, they're trying to shoot the dog. Like, they're actively shooting at the dog with rifles. It's great.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of gunfire in this. So it runs off to go tell the cop. With the medal, we hear the henchman spotting dog and firing the shots. As Alan said, upstairs, our guy hides out in an indoor balcony. And in the hallway, a henchman steps out and sets down a lunch tray and then goes like into a closet. A gorbless
child in an oversized suit.
Yes.
Henchman. It's fantastic. And in classic hero fashion, our guy follows him into this closet or whatever, and we hear a big thunk, and he comes out wearing the guy's jacket. And
yeah, but,
like, yeah.
This isn't like okay, so the writers must have seen Star Wars, where, you know, yes, Luke and Han beat up the stormtroopers and put on their full costumes. And I was like, yeah, that's a full costume with a mask. In this case, you put on a different coat. People are like...
But
who are
he
you?
Only has to get in the door to throw lunch in the henchman's face.
Yes.
So he goes in and he picks up the tray very daintily, like very waiter-like. I guess to cover his face and stuff. He picks up the food tray and walks in to the room where Anna's being held, and there's a bunch of bads around and bad biddies. He throws a plate of food at the guy's face, one guy, and it's a close-up, and he just gets his plate of like meatloaf and mashed potatoes and stuff. So I was like, yeah, okay, that's pretty good. And Anna hits another guy with a steel coffee pot. It's our guy and Anna escape the room.
It's so fake. I like... you're filming a TV show. You should be able to do this from an angle where it doesn't have to look fake. Like, it looked like when I did backyard wrestling, and I would... And I would hit somebody with an object, but clearly not trying to hurt them because we're fucking not trained and we don't have the ability to edit or shoot things properly. And I was like, you could have done better on this TV show with that blow.
It's perspective. Like, she swings the coffee pot, but then slows down, but it's probably about a foot away, but you can't really see it. But, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, no, that came nowhere near his
okay,
head.
Not everyone can be a fucking professional backyard wrestler, Alan.
I said I was bad at it.
He was one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was a great – and, too, I still want a episode of you just talking about the backyard wrestling days. I still request that.
I still want the tapes. You got to send us the tapes.
I mean, I have a Best Of DVD, so.
Ooh.
I still want the rematch.
So we're out. They escape the room. We're out in the stairwell. And they go into a stairwell with the most 70s sunflower wallpaper. Right. It's beautiful. Arlo, tell us about this wallpaper. Like,
it
how
is?
How'd you feel?
I feel like I'm at, like, my grandma's house and sunflowers blew up all over the walls. Like, it's a lot. It's a choice. This is a choice. This wallpaper, a choice.
Yeah. Anna and I think everybody's house at one time had sunflower wallpaper.
I think it was somewhere. It was mandatory for a few years, I believe. So,
yeah, I think so. I believe our kitchen had it many years ago in like the early 80s. Maybe they watched this episode. Maybe my parents were like, hey, look at that. It's great. It wasn't as intense, though. So Anna and our guy go further upstairs because they hear the bad guys downstairs, so they have to go further up in the house. Our guy says, better hide up here and hope the dog finds help. And I'm like, buddy, like, you got nothing. If you think, I guess they're like, I can't imagine being in a situation going, well, I hope Linda goes and finds help. It's like, well, I might as well go, well, I'm dead.
I mean, again, he's been traveling with Fort for a while. So he does have some, at least, inkling of this dog's capabilities.
Yeah,
right?
He knows what the dog can do. He definitely knows because they hear gunshots in the distance, and the woman who doesn't know the dog is like, oh my goodness, they're going to kill that dog. And the man is like, that dog's too smart for those fuckers. Like,
that dog's immortal.
Yeah.
As he is saying it, there's loud gunfire over him saying it. He goes, yeah, like, like, no, he's too smart for it. Bang, 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 bang. And you're like, you're really sure of this dog. The dog's not bulletproof. It's still a dog.
There's a shot with the dog walking down the street. And the men, like the bad guys, aim right at him from further down the street and just miss.
So we're at the fence line of the compound, almost out. And the henchman can find Bort. And he sneaks back under the tunnel and he's out. We see a chopper land in the yard. Well, it's actually a model helicopter shot, like, in perspective, like Lord of the Rings style, which is just like, and it's just this boom, and it comes down perfectly. So it's it's probably like about 3 feet big, I suspect, and they shoot it through the trees. Like, look at this fancy helicopter. So that's pretty great.
Did they use Vaseline?
Oh yeah, no, Vaseline's all over the show. So.
Oh, yeah.
Like on a freaking porn set. Don't use Vaseline, though, because, as Arla will tell you, from you don't use Vaseline because it's oil-based, and what will it do to condoms or any
it
type
will
of...
deteriorate the latex in the condoms.
Exactly.
So it doesn't mean you can't use it, but also
you
it's
should
not
use sheepskin
recommended.
Condoms.
It's also not recommended for any kind of internal stuff. It's just not made for that. You don't want to get that inside you.
What you listen to this podcast for, everybody? Your weekly Vaseline advice from Narbos and Broomheads.
Shove Vaseline up your cooter.
Remember.
It's good advice. Sorry.
No, it's good. It's good.
I'm not sorry.
Don't get it up in you.
What?
Kelly Marlowe sent you. Okay. Told me, not get it up in me.
Holy shit. Oh.
So our guy says it's for them, the helicopter, and their only chance is to make a run for it. And they run down the stairs. Uh-oh, and they're greeted by the gun-wielding an ordinary dog, eh? That guy. So that guy's holding a gun on him. Uh-oh. So Bort runs down the road with the metal in his mouth. He was wearing it before, but now he has it in his mouth, which I was like, well, he'd take it off, like he's chafing his fur or whatever. He jumps into the cop car window. So now the cop, this bad cop, starts busting the dog's balls and says, well, make yourself at home. he spies the metal and says, 5-1, that nut is back at the house, which is fair.
I mean, so, this is why he's a beat cop and not a detective.
That's right.
Yeah.
He says, if he is, he's in big trouble. And now he gives the classic bit, which I always find funny. He gives a, look at me, I'm talking to a dog. Now I'm talking to myself. Classic. Love it. No notes. And they start to drive towards the compound, sirens blaring. The big boss and the lieutenant finish up business with the lieutenant getting a manila envelope, classic, envelope of cash, and shoves it in his jacket. Some henchmen escort Anna and our guy to the plywood helicopter. It's not real. The lieutenant then goes to drive out of the compound, but he's met at the gate by Charlie the cop. His name is Charlie, by the way. The cop apologizes for letting our guy come back to the compound, but the lieutenant says he didn't. He claims he never saw him, even though obviously he did. The cop claims the dog told him, to which the lieutenant then makes fun of him and says, oh, the dog told you. Bort jumps into the lieutenant's empty car and grabs the scarf from earlier. The lieutenant tells the cop to call it quits for the day and says he worries too much. Lieutenant drives off, but Bort has the scarf. Charlie the cop figures the whole situation makes no sense. And I'm like, I'm just barely holding on to this storyline. But yeah.
I don't.
I'm like, yeah, me too, buddy.
Yeah, like I don't get it. This is supposed to be the moment where all the loose ends kind of come together and we figure shit out, right? And I'm like, I don't understand. Like the helicopter takes off. Bort has the scarf. This is supposed to be the eureka moment for the cop. He's like, whoa, we need backup to stop this helicopter. And I'm like, How? What happened here? Like,
What did I miss?
Am I dumb? Did I miss the moment? Yeah.
I'm glad. Yes, I'm glad you say that because, again, okay, everybody, all listeners and hosts, I picked this episode because of Sweet Judo Chop at the 3-minute mark.
This episode doesn't make
necessarily make a lot of sense. So just to go through the beats of it. So we see stock footage of a real helicopter flying away, and the stock footage is all grainy, so it doesn't match like the Vaseline lens of this show. So that's great. Bort gives the scarf to the cop, and the cop looks up the helicopter and makes a call like on a CB radio, which again, besides knocking people out, I thought as an adult I'd use a CB car radio a lot more than I ever actually did. Growing up in the 80s, I was like, oh, I'm so having that in my car when I get older.
Same.
And he asks for someone to catch that copter because a guy's life depends on it and also sends him back up. It's like, you're asking a lot, buddy. The scarf is marked with the initials AM, which would be Anna Marco, which a cop tells the dog that his friend was onto something after all. The vagrant guy, Sport, then looks happy. Bort.
Hey, do you know what would be funny if the initials were AF and they kept growing further apart?
That's what you call a callback.
Call back to last week, everybody. Episode. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh my god.
Okay, so this story has built to the big, like, usually the way I guess storytelling works, built to the big confrontation. Nope, not this time, kids. On the compound grounds, the henchmen are all in cuffs. Anna and our guy are just standing around. The cop says he picked up the lieutenant at his home off screen, so we don't never see any of that. He says, we'll keep the scar for evidence for now. We'll give it back later. The cop apologizes for being so hard on our guy, but the hobo man, vagrant man, says that St. Christopher will forgive him. Okay, good. The cop says he would have hated to see what had happened if he wasn't for his dog. And it's like, they look around for Bort, hit the music. And our guy says, well, you know, once a traveler, always a traveler. And this is playing over Down the Road music. I guess he got the itch for the road. Bort bounces, everyone smiles, end the episode.
Hit the music.
Hit my music, Bort says, but in dog language.
Uh-huh.
Holy crap.
So there's no big, like, third act here. Just like,
nope.
And
you know, they skipped Pucci a whole bunch of stuff, like during the commercial they were like, we've wrapped up all the loose ends, and they come back from the commercial and they're like, yeah, loose ends are done, everybody, we ran out of time, dogs fucked off, the end.
that lieutenant, I guess, a fucking spy or something, whatever, in jail, I guess. They got
to like the 27th minute of the half hour episode and they went to the network and they're like, I think we need to stretch this into two parts, and the network was like, can't do it. So they're like, all right,
you spent all your money on that fucking plywood helicopter. Get out of my office. Make it work.
So you just gave a pretty thorough review of The Defector. I also, in my conversation with ChatGPT.
Ooh, do tell.
So I started with a conversation about The Littlest Hobo, just to establish that ChatGPT knew who The Littlest Hobo is. Of course they do. So I said, well, tell me about the episode called The Defector. They say, The Defector first aired in 1964 during the show's second season. Hobo comes across a man named Frank Dixon who is trying to escape from a group of criminals or spies, and the dog becomes involved in helping him. And then it goes through this whole explanation. So I don't know about the original show's episode, so I'm like, maybe it was an episode and they just retook the title. So I said, wasn't there an episode called The Defector from 1979? They say, I apologize for the confusion. Yes, you are correct. In the 1979 episode of The Defector, Hobo encounters a man named Alexei. Like, what?
Okay. Sure.
A Soviet defector who is trying to escape to freedom. The episode likely revolves around the challenges faced by Alexei in his attempt to defect. The episode reflects the political climate of the time, as the concept of defection from Soviet bloc countries was a significant and sensitive topic during the Cold War. So there you go, everybody.
Literally every sentence is wrong. Like, it's not even anywhere close.
Just then, to make sure that ChatGPT wasn't totally fucked in the head, I said, could the littlest hobo fly? It said,
yes.
And I love how it answers it. It's like, no, the littlest hobo could not fly. The show was great. But then the next sentence, the show was grounded in reality. Like, what? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
well, Hobo was depicted as an exceptionally clever and resourceful canine. He adhered to the natural limitations of a real dog. You know, untying knots, flying balloons, skydiving.
Parachuting,
Yep.
Literally in the first episode, he parachuted out of a plane.
So there you go, everybody.
Fantastic. Thank you, ChatGPT. Mm-hmm.
You're a good boy, ChatGPT.
So that was, yeah. Any thoughts? Any final thoughts on that beautiful episode? I think the other ones did make more sense that we've covered, because this one was just, it's Friday, let's wrap it up, let's go home. I don't know, everyone's arrested, I guess, like, we're out of money.
Happy ending, no one died, bad guys are arrested, dog leaves, you know the drill. So
yeah. Rinse and repeat.
I just love how, like, your choice is so aligned with the storyline. Like, you just picked it because of the fucking Karate Chop.
Yeah.
Oh, probably didn't even watch the rest of it.
I was watching it on my iPad and went, that's it. I was in a room alone. I was like, that's it. That's the one. Yeah. Winner.
Yeah.
And so I don't even know if I finished the episode and I sent it out to everybody going, this is the one we're watching. Watch it. Review it.
I mean, again, as much as the ending doesn't make sense, the fact that this guy has so much faith in this dog does weirdly make more sense in this episode than it has previously. because we don't know their history.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I will say I found our guy clever. When he came up with, like, oh, I'm going to sick this dog on you. Like, that was smart thinking. He didn't know. But then that's where I fell out of awe with him after that.
But again, I just appreciate that in this children's episode, there is physical violence, multiple people being knocked unconscious, food being thrown at people held at gunpoint, threats to literally kill the dog. This dog is going to kill you. We're going to just kill people. Mm. Let's shoot the dog. We're actually shooting at him. Fantastic.
And really just the idea of the theme for it, like the plot line being centered around defecting from the communist country, which is a pretty sophisticated plot for a kid's show, right? Like, I remember when I was probably about, I mean, I was very young. I must have been probably 7 or 8 years old, and Say You, Say Me came out by Lionel Richie, right? And, of course, this is from White Nights. And, you know, we really loved the song, and we were in, and loved the video, and we're like, we wanted to see White Nights. Right. And so, like, I saw White Nights when I was probably like 7 years old, which is like,
you have to be the only person in the world who has ever said that sentence and meant it.
Yeah. I still don't even know what White Nights is.
What is this?
I'm pretty sure I saw that song in Mickey's Christmas special one year.
There's
some
great, like, dance sequences in it, like Gregory Hines is in it too. But, like, you know, like, when I was watching it when I was like seven, like, I didn't really understand, like, what defecting from a country meant. You know?
You didn't at seven?
Loser. Yeah, you fucking dummy.
Yeah,
you idiot.
Don't you understand geopolitical politics?
Yeah. Can you even spell?
It's kind of an odd choice to center a kid's episode around.
Well, they got to learn it.
Like I said, it was hot. It was hot. Hot, hot, hot at this time. So. Mm-hmm.
And it is again now.
Well, I guess that wraps up another sweet, sweet good boy of an episode of Littlest Hobo from us. Let's see what type of pet lovers are out there. Let's roll it way on over to Tanugi's owner in the Prairie Dog rag. Or whatever it is, newsletter.
What? Did you just say period a whole bunch?
No, I said prairie dog, not the period dog. No,
rag,
in the prairie dog. Is the prairie dog like a newsletter or a newspaper?
It's a newspaper. It's a free newspaper. Like, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
Like if you go downtown or whatever, you'll have like these newspaper boxes that are filled with the free newspapers or whatever.
That's
so
why
it's
your
like
dog didn't get a prize.
He gets okay. Proxy.
It's the name and print.
Down.
Actually,
no, it's
the
like
newspaper
it's,
is a prize.
It's a widely circulated free newspaper, though. Like it really is. It's like it makes its revenue from ads instead of from, you know, subscriptions or whatever it is. So
I'm sure that they appreciate all of the lovely fucking endorsements we've given it on this episode, calling it a rag. All these awards are bullshit. Asshole paper. That's great. Sorry, Prairie Dog paper.
Hey, we didn't call it an asshole paper.
It's good to know that that's what you're thinking in your head. So when I was like, hey, Tanuki won this thing in this paper, you're like, oh, bullshit, asshole, rag.
Kill it. Get that newsletter. Kill it.
Uh-huh. You are all just jealous because your dog didn't win anything. Anyway, I'm Arlo. You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT.
Think of how many dogs out there in Regina are going to pee on that page where your dog got the award down the road.
And birds.
Jealous. Yeah.
And I know. One less than was nominated.
Jealousy.
Because that one dog died.
Is there actually, you know what I didn't, you know what I didn't look at? What's it called again? The Prairie Dog paper? Prairie Dog Times? Prairie? Tell me.
Newsletter?
Prairie Dog.
The Prairie Dog magazine.
Yeah. Is there
a magazine?
Well, no. Yeah. Is there a category in here for best podcast coming out of Regina? I wonder.
Ooh.
There is not, but I could write to them and ask them to add it.
Yes. Well,
we
and I'm
love
sure,
you, Prairie Dog.
Yeah, Prairie Dog. The official newspaper of the Narbos and Brewheads podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can burrow your way up the Richard Gere's ass anytime. I know it's a gerbil. I know canon it's a gerbil, but I'm just saying. Just start a new, we'll revitalize that rumor. Good job, Prairie Dog.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
Love
can I say food. Something yet?
Oh, yeah. Go.
I just wanted to say, Arlo, I was trying to trash the paper and not your dog. And I was trying to trash the paper for not giving your dog a prize. That's all.
Okay.
I'm very happy that your dog won a major award. I think the paper was being a little bit rude by not properly.
We didn't even nominate our dog this year. Cool. Someone else who is a mystery person nominated our dog.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like the baloney man from Pee Wee.
Billy Baloney. He nominated my dog.
It wasn't Randy. He's not nice.
Randy's
a dick.
Courtney, if I wanted to see pictures of you and your broken nose on Instagram, where would I go?
Okay. You wouldn't, because I don't do that. Weirdo. It's on my OnlyFans.
Oh, yes. You got to pay behind the old paywall, bitch.
Yeah, broken noses are the new feet pics.
It's
like,
true.
Show me that schnoz. Show
it's
me that new, broken cartilage,
the new
baby.
Fart jar. But if you were on Instagram and you wanted to follow me, you could go to courtney.1293. Thank you.
A whole bunch of fun stuff from the podcast at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, Narbos and Broomheads at gmail.com, Narbos and Broomheads Facebook page. Find us on all of the places where you stream your podcast and give us a nice old rating. And coming up in a week, we're going to be doing the Narbos and Broomheads Hall of Fame, the first ever induction ceremony. So write us and on any of those platforms with your thoughts. Though ultimately, I think I'm just going to decide, but I can be swayed by your, by your.
He won't be swayed.
Yeah. By your thoughts. I don't have the list of winners sitting right next to me right now, everybody. There's still time. One of the things that we're considering, don't know if we're going to do it or not, but if we do, it'll be posted on all those pages. Maybe we go live with this episode. We'll.
Ooh.
Yay!
Yeah. We haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, we'll see. So if that happens, it would take place probably on January 5th, but we'll keep you posted, everybody. So that's all I got, and I'm Slip with Five Eyes, or Sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been Ted on Save Wild 3 on the Instagram machine. So we hope you've enjoyed the episode. Obviously, we enjoyed this episode, too. It wasn't rough. Hey-o.
Hey.
Like a dog says. Anyways, yeah, we'll see you next time on the Narbos and Broomheads show.
See ya.
Bye.
An ordinary dog. Baby.
Well, I just said I'm going to get my up. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe, cut. Just to get caught my dreams. Everyone there.